And now, Dick Tracy!
This is Dick Tracy on the case of the poisonous timber. Stand by for action. Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
Before we listen to today's Dick Tracy adventure, did you boys and girls know that although yesterday was actually Cornelius McGillicuddy's 85th birthday, today is the day he's celebrating? And so is everybody else who loves baseball. Because Cornelius McGillicuddy is none other than Connie Mack, Mr. Baseball himself. You see, when the manager of that famous baseball team, the Philadelphia Athletics, was 75, he discovered that his birthday was really December 22nd. He decided that after celebrating December 23rd for 75 years, it was too late to change. Because of Mack's managerial ability, the A's are always a dangerous team. And no other baseball manager has won as many championships as Connie Mack. As a matter of fact, his teams were so great at times that people just wouldn't go to see them play. They knew the A's would win. And since baseball teams need money, Connie Mack was forced to break up his teams two different times. You athletes will want to join in our salute to the man who started life working in a shoe factory at the age of 16 and who is still going strong as the grand old man of baseball, Connie Mack, 85 years young today.
Now, Dick Tracy.
Finally convinced of the complete innocence of Forrest Green, Dick Tracy and Pat Patton have teamed up with him in an attempt to trap the nefarious cutter down. Going to the scene of winter logging operations, Tracy extracts some valuable information from an obviously unfriendly lumber foreman. At this moment, however, Pat Patton arrives on the scene and, despite Tracy's shouts of warning, walks directly into the path of a falling tree.
Yeah, sure did. Well, I guess we might as well take him out.
Hey, look, look. Right there. There's the one you was talking to.
Yeah.
He must have got out of the way.
Yeah, looks like it. Come on. Let's go over and talk to him again.
Hey, sure.
Most awful thing I ever seen in my life. Looks like right on the top of him there.
Hey there. It was kind of close. This must be your lucky day.
Lucky? I couldn't run fast enough to pull Pat out of the way.
You mean you couldn't run fast enough to get killed? You don't know when you're well off.
For heaven's sake, man, will you stop prattling and help me get Pat out of there?
Patience, mister, patience. All right, fellas. Get in there and bring out that body.
You're being a little premature, aren't you?
He's dead, all right. Gotta be. Big tree like that smack on top of him.
You don't know Pat. He's pulled out of more hopeless spots than this.
Yeah? Can't be any more hopeless than dead, mister. And that's what he is.
Hey, right? Here he is. He's still breathing.
Yeah, what did I tell you?
Yeah. He won't last long. Probably conk out any minute.
Let me look at him. No. No, it doesn't seem to be any bones broken. No, he was bracketed by these two limbs here, and he fell right between them. One of those little ones up there must have clipped him right on the head. Hey, help me get him out in the open.
Leave him alone, man. Don't touch him.
Say, what's the idea?
He's dead. Just hasn't got sense enough to stop breathing. My men aren't going to go carrying any stiffs around.
All right, then. I'm a special deputy sheriff, and I ask them in the name of the law to help me.
Mister around these parts, cutter down's the law. What he says goes.
And does he also pass out the instructions for murder?
Friend, I don't like that. In fact, I don't like anything about you.
That's a matter of complete unconcern to me. But if you're looking for a fight, I'd suggest you put that axe down first.
You betcha. Day that I need an axe to kick the stuffings out of the toughest city fella that ever lived, that's the day I quit the lumber business.
Well, I hope you're well fixed financially because you've just resigned.
Why, you... Oh, fancy Dan, huh? I'll show you. Yeah. How do you like this kind of fighting? Oh.
It's a funny thing, but dirty fighters are always yellow.
Yeah.
I can't take a hard punch like this.
Are you...
Or this.
Oh.
Hey, hey, you see that? A silly fella knocked Charles down.
Now, do you Phil, still think you can say uncle?
Oh, yeah? I'll show you who's yellow, you dirty...
You look better on the ground.
Oh.
Like that. You want to play some more?
All right. All right, don't hit me again. I've had enough.
Just like I said. Now, will you men help me take care of Pat?
Well, we sure will. Hey, come on. Brother, you certainly took care of that loudmouth, Joe. You know something? He's been talking so tough nobody around the camp had enough nerve to choose it.
I think he'll be a little subdued from here on in. Now... Let's lift Pat and...
Nobody is lifting Pat. I am quite able to lift myself.
Pat, when did you wake up?
Just a few minutes ago.
Well, why didn't you say something?
I missed a good fight. Oh. I'd have never forgiven myself if I hadn't seen that. It sure was a beauty. Richard, you know something? I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Not at all. It was really wonderful. Every minute of it.
Oh.
But you know, I warned you before about dealing with your right.
What?
That guy'd been a little faster, he'd have nailed you.
Oh, Patrick, go back to sleep. You were funnier that way. Come on. Think you can walk all right?
Sure, why not? As you're so fond of pointing out, it was only my head that was hurt.
Let's go, then.
Right.
And, Joe.
Yeah?
I should have thought your mother would have warned you about playing games with strangers. So long, men. If you see Forest Green, be sure to get in touch with me.
Oh, Richard, I'm surprised at you. That wasn't a nice thing to do.
What?
Well, now those men will spend all their time looking for Forest Green instead of working like little beavers, cutting trees for that nice cutter down.
Well, that's really quite a shame, isn't it?
Hey, certainly.
Hey. Huh? Hey, I'm over here.
Well, bless my soul if it isn't the villainous Forest Green. Say, don't you know there's a price on your head?
Oh, really? Well, if the price is right, I'll sell.
You better hold out a little while longer. I understand all prices are going even higher.
Tracy, before I forget it, that was an elegant fight.
Oh,
you certainly put the chill on Joe Balsam, the terror of the lumber camps.
The terror of the... If that guy's the terror of the lumber camps, they're certainly easily frightened up here.
Well, it's like that other guy said. I've heard Joe threaten and bully and shout for years, but I can't ever recall seeing him actually fight before.
Well, he certainly picked a bad time for his coming out party.
Oh, he did it that. Now everyone in this part of the country will want to take a crack at him for some of the things he's made them swallow. Oh, but tell me, Dick, what did you find out?
Something pretty important. Cutter Down personally ordered those two trees cut, which wasn't very smart of him, because it's reasonably certain that there was something on those trees that he didn't want seen.
Yeah, if you ask me, it was pretty stupid. Would have been better for him to have blamed the marks on Forrest here. But you know what? I guess he got panicky.
Yeah, Cutter's like that. Loses his head when the screws start to tighten. He'd have been cooked long ago if he hadn't had Owen Doe to hold him down in the pinches.
Well, that'll give us a lead then. What we've got to do is just to keep putting the pressure on him and keep him worrying until he breaks and does something really incriminating.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dick. Well, in the meantime, come on, let's go back to Mahogany's. Seems to me she said something about hot coffee when we got back.
Good idea, Pat. Well, wait a minute, Pat.
Hmm?
You've still got a vine or something clinging to you.
Word, what do you know? That's the luck of the Irish. Some people would have been killed when that tree fell on them, but I come out of it with vine leaves in my hair.
Yeah, but this vine happens to be poison ivy.
Well, it doesn't make any... Poison... Oh, I'm feeling a little faint, fellas. I don't think I'm long for this world.
But you have the luck of the Irish to protect you.
Oh.
So you have nothing to worry about. Nothing at all.
Boy, the days are certainly short. It's pitch black already.
Yeah, and it's snowing again, too. The lights of Mahogany's cabin up ahead are really welcome. I can taste that coffee already.
They're welcome for another reason, too. So give me a chance to look in the window first and see if she's alone.
That's a wise precaution.
No, there she is alone, reading. Oh, I wonder where Piney is.
Well, there's one way to find out.
Come in, boys. Come in. Be quick about it.
Where's Piney, Ma?
Well, she got nervous here without you, and so she went out for a little walk. said she was gone up by the ridge.
Oh, I think I'll go look for her.
Yeah, that's a good idea. There'll be a moon in a few minutes. You better not waste it. You know, I thought that was real cute. So romantic, Lige.
Yeah, you're still young when you go looking for your girl before you've had a cup of coffee.
Ain't it the truth? But you know, I was reading about this here Cleopatra. You know, she weren't much younger than me when she got in all that mess with Mark Antony.
No, I guess she wasn't.
And so I guess maybe there's hope for the old girl here yet, huh? Well, all the same, have some coffee, huh?
You talked me into it.
Did you say something?
Who?
I thought one of you fellas said something. Sounds like somebody outside. Well, could it be Forrest and Piney back so soon?
It wasn't by the door. It sounded as though it came from this side.
A bear. Could smell it if it was a bear.
You mean to say you could tell if it was a bear outside just by the smell?
Why, sure thing. It smelled kind of hot and heavy. And I'm sure it's no deer. I can smell a deer a mile away if the wind's right. They smell sort of musky-like.
That's no animal. That's a person out there.
Well, what's he doing around the back, then? Here, fetch me my horse pistol, son.
Never mind. I'll do any shooting that's required.
Look, there's something outside that window. I'd shine my light on it.
Good, Pat.
What? It's a man, all right. But what's the matter with him? He looks... Oh, no. No, it can't be.
What's the matter?
It's not possible. It just can't be.
What can it be? Who is it?
It's Axel Tree.
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first, Christmas Eve, we invite you to join us when we present a dramatization of Charles Dickens' famous story, A Christmas Carol, in place of our regular Wednesday night program, Mayor of the Town. And as the star of the show, we'll bring you the mayor himself, Lionel Barrymore, in the role of Scrooge, a characterization for which he is well known throughout the country. Scrooge is one of Barrymore's most distinguished portrayals, one known by more people, perhaps, than any other ever heard on the air. This will mark the 12th year Mr. Barrymore has played the role. And speaking of it, he has said, "There's something I feel of Scrooge at the moment I assume his character. I seem to shrink, and an unnatural meanness of disposition comes over me." A Christmas Carol is a story men, women, and children alike enjoy. A story your whole family will want to hear, for it's a story in the traditional Christmas tradition. A tale of a cold man whose heart is gladdened by the Yuletide, and who learns the true meaning of giving and generosity. Tomorrow night, listen to Lionel Barrymore as Scrooge in A Christmas Carol of the most of these same ABC stations. Now, back to Dick Tracy.
Who did you say it was?
Axel Tree. But he's dead.
Who or what is the wild-eyed creature standing outside in the snow? Can it be Axel Tree? And if it is, will he be able to shed any light on the insidious operations of Cutter Down? Better be sure to tune in tomorrow for The Adventures of Dick Tracy, written for radio by John Ray and Everett S. Crosby. And this is George Gunn speaking. The greatest music of the world, superbly interpreted by one of America's finest symphonic orchestras, the Boston Symphony, which we present every Tuesday evening over most ABC stations. As director of these weekly concerts, we bring you Serge Koussevitzky, who has been acclaimed both here and abroad for his fine conducting. In choosing selections for the Boston Symphony programs, Mr. Koussevitzky tries to include, during each season's broadcast, works by composers from many lands. Thus, you hear the most memorable music of England, France, Russia, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Norway, Finland, and America. So be sure to listen to the Boston Symphony tonight on most ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.